Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking again today about the Kingdom of God. And we've recently had two shows that were dealing with rebuking. As many as I love, I also rebuke. And those of who are regular listeners know that we are constantly rebuking people for having strayed from the simple blessings and ways of Christ, and that the modern church has been deceived into thinking that you are saved by your own thoughts, that you can say certain words and you are automatically saved. And it is very clear from the gospel that you must repent and seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you are saved by grace. But you have to actually be repenting, turning around, going another way than the church in the wilderness had gone back in those days of Judea. The church in the wilderness once was a government that operated by faith, hope, and charity, and the offerings to the ministers of that government, who were the Levites, and did not exercise authority one over the other, but were servant ministers, were free will offerings, and they maintained an entire nation and were able to beat all those who attacked it and tried to destroy it, and they could face disasters, both small and large, within local communities or as a whole nation. And this is the way that it operated for centuries. And then it decided to have a king, and of course that was called a rejection of God, and that king was a central authority. And God allowed them to have that, but he told them that this is what's going to happen, that he's going to end up taking. He's going to make his instruments of war, and he's going to take your sons and put them in harm's way, make them run before his chariots. And of course, that's what happened to Israel, and it was eventually conquered and destroyed. And it's also what happened to Caesars, who, when they became a central authority, an emperor of a nation, bound by a enfranchised citizenry that had to contribute to the government by force, tithes became taxes, and taxes made men powerful. And they had their central treasuries, which was forbidden in the Constitution of God. They had their armies, which was forbidden in the Constitution of God. And as a matter of fact, the five elements that were to be put in a constitution, according to the biblical scripture, as we see in Deuteronomy, around Deuteronomy 17, 16, in that area, most governments only, at the most, have one of those elements. The Constitution of the United States only had one of the five elements required by the Bible, by Bible teaching, as what to include and to be read to your ruler every day, that should have been included in the Constitution, that was to bridle his power so that he didn't have absolute power. And only one was found in the Constitution of the United States, and that one is not even practiced or observed with any fervent attention. So, with that, and if you want to know in more detail and hear an explanation in more detail, you can listen to our audio series, CCC, Contracts, Covenants, and Constitutions. You can download the book for free. There are articles for free. And we take you through these quotes step by step so you can see for yourself. Now, if you don't want to see, you will not see. And if you want to know the truth, you will. Because his sheep hear his voice. His sheep will understand his message. Those who do not understand, who refuse to understand, who hate what we have to say, well, they are not his sheep. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't believe so. And so what I am doing is professing my beliefs in the practice of free religion. And the only free religion we should be practicing is pure religion. So we should be taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of our society through faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And most Christians are not. And so most Christians have need for repentance. So anyway, we talked about a lot of things in the last couple of shows about that, about what a PCM is on the Living Network, which you can join at thelivingnetwork.org or Preparing You or at hisholychurch.org. And we talked about how you can get special instructions through the network, how we have all kinds of courses for free that you can take for free. We have ministers volunteering their time for free. You just have to begin to gather in these free assemblies, these congregations of record, and start learning what we have to offer and teaching by your questions, because the ministers will sometimes not know the answer, and so they have to consult men who have had more experience and taken more time, and the answers are there. Ultimately, we want you to get the answers in your own heart and mind, and that's where you must accept the truth. Is in your own heart and mind, because the kingdom of heaven must first be within you. And then once it's within you, you become a manifestation of that kingdom. And when you really become a manifestation of that kingdom, you will begin to show the works of the kingdom, including instantaneous healings. And that's one of the mysteries. If you're only going to listen to parables and you only want to hear nice stories, then that's all you will hear. But if you want to hear the truth, if you can handle the truth, then come join the network. And we will be iron sharpening iron. And so we also talked a little bit about Romans 13. And you know, in Romans 13, here's a quote. In Romans 13, the word is used, the word meaning exousia, is used in the plural and means authorities. And refers to the civil government authorities in Rome who were delegated authority and power by God as his servant to govern the affairs of men, to exercise justice against lawbreakers. Now, this is a quote. This is not true, but this is a quote. He goes on to say, the word speaks of the power of right to govern, to exercise authority over the citizens of the Roman Empire. That's from 2013, William E. Winstrom Jr.'s Bible Ministry. The interesting thing is that most of the time in the Bible, when that word exousia is used to talk about the power, what he calls the civil power of government to rule over the people, it's talking about Christ. Jesus Christ was the head of the civil government of Judea. And everybody who got the baptism of Christ were accepting Christ as the Messiah, the Messiah, the highest son of David, the rightful king of Judea. And many of them were Jews. The apostles were Jews. So the Jews did accept Christ. There were some men there, mostly Edomites, but also Jews, who said, we have no king but Caesar. They were saying, what is David to us? They were walking away. They were becoming the lost sheep. And in the years to follow, the lost sheep, many of them who were to the north and in different parts of Europe and all over the Roman Empire, many of them Jews and some of them of the other tribes, which they all knew where they were, but they were just in other locations, began to accept Jesus. And how did you know they accepted Jesus? Because they accepted the way of Jesus, the authority of Jesus as their governor, who said, don't exercise authority one over the other. So they were going to have to govern themselves through what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty. Now, how do you do that? What is this perfect law of liberty? And we have links on the website. I'm reading from the link that's Appendix 1 of the THL, the Higher Liberty. But this perfect law of liberty is an actual way in which to govern yourselves. And it does not include covetous practices. And we have a webpage that explains what covetous practices are, which you see it talks about covetous practices in the Bible. in the New Testament. Peter talks about it, and he talks about it cursing your children with covetous practices. So what are those covetous practices? It's exactly what it says. It's covetous practices. When you are doing things that have a covetous nature to them, and we should not have that covetous practice in the way in which we relate to one another. And you can see it in 2 Peter 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery. That word adultery there. Most adultery that they talk about in the Bible is national adultery. It's not just about marriage. It has to do with not having faith in God, but having faith in something else contrary to the ways of God. And they talk about beguiling unstable minds, enticing, unstable. What do they mean by unstable? Unsteadfast. Primitive root in the Greek for that word is to make firm. They're not firm in their faith. They fluctuate in their faith. They say, I believe in Jesus, I just don't want to do what he says. You see, the devil believes that God is God. The devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He just doesn't want to do what Jesus said. And that's where we find many modern Christians. They want to believe, but they don't want to do. And their fruits show that they're doing contrary to the ways of Christ. And they're not real Christians. Just as those Jews in Judea who would not accept Christ did not really know Moses and therefore were not real Jews. If a Jew was a follower of Moses, they were not Jews. They might be by bloodline. They might be by, you know, the card-carrying members of a religious group that calls itself Jews. But citizens of Paris, Texas are not citizens of Paris, France. They're both citizens of Paris, but it's a different Paris. And so it is with Jews. If the Jew does not follow the ways and accept the ways of David or the highest son of David, then they are no longer Jews. They're something else. They're sons of Caesar, and Caesar is their father. But anyway, it says in that 2 Peter 2:14 that through those exercised with covetous practices, cursed their children. How do they mean curse their children? They cursed them with debt. They brought them into bondage of debt, katara. That this word cursed has to do with that, bringing somebody down into this subjugation. And it's that curse that the children of the world are now under. In every nation, the children are born, at infancy, are born in debt. They are cursed with the debt of their parents because of their parents' covetous practices, their desire for benefits at the expense of their neighbor. And their neighbor couldn't provide those benefits quick enough. So they ended up actually borrowing money against the future and going into debt. And that's what's happened all over the world. So we're forming congregations of record to actually start following the ways of Christ so that people can actually physically start to walk the ways of Christ and change their steps to the ways of Christ. And a lot of people are waiting. They want to see more action. But the fact is, you can't see more action from the outside. You can only see more action from the inside. And if you don't think there's enough action, then it's probably partially your fault. You're not being part of that action. And if you don't like what you're seeing, you don't think it's sufficient, then you must become more proficient at the ways of Christ. And somebody complained about my shadow in the network, that I was this, you know, over-looming shadow. And I says, if you don't like the length of my shadow, stand up. I'm not going to do less so that you're comfortable with what little you do. You need to do more. You know, I'm not here competing. I am here serving what I believe Christ has given me that I must freely give to others. And that's what you have to do. That's what each of us has to do. That's the mission. So anyway, this program really was meant to be about all this hubbub in the news of this new Ebola virus, which Ebola has been around for a long time. There are different strains of the Ebola virus, and viruses have a tendency to mutate, but they are basically the same virus. If vaccinations worked, the vaccination for one virus might just work for another. It might not. It all depends on how that virus vaccination was created. But vaccinations have some fundamental flaws. The other agents, the adjuvants that are in it, the squalene, etc., that might be in it. Also, the fact is you must remember that vaccinations cure nothing. They don't fight the disease. They don't destroy the disease. They don't attack the disease. Vaccinations, that's not their purpose for attacking the virus. Vaccinations simply stimulate your immune system. Turn it on. And one of the things that they haven't been able to do this for AIDS, and the reason why is actually a number of reasons why, but we won't go into that. Let's just stick with Ebola. Ebola has been equated to AIDS. It's kind of AIDS on steroids. But an interesting thing came out in Natural News. They publish a lot of information, and somebody brought it to their attention, and they publish it. So they provide that service. And they say the U.S. Centers of Disease Control, CDC, owns a patent on a particular strain of the Ebola, known as Ebobun. Its patent number is CA2741523A1, so you can actually look it up. And it was awarded back in 2010, and it's available, so you can look this up. They actually have a patent on the Ebola virus. The government of the United States, as represented by the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, Center for the Disease Control, and it has this patent. So it's not like a private agency. It's actually the government has a patent on it. And in that patent, there's a summary. It says, the invention provides the isolated human Ebola, H. Ebola, virus, denoted by the Bundibug-Yo, or Ebobun, deposited with the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, in Atlanta, Georgia, in the United States of America, on November 26, 2007, accorded an accession number of 200706291. Why am I telling you all this? Because they refer to it as the invention, the Ebola virus invention. Now, people will tell you, and maybe so, that that's just terms of getting patents. Now, normally you couldn't patent something unless you specifically altered it, and then you could patent something like a GMO, which is actually, you know, they're handling the GMO patent situation all wrong. One thing, I don't approve of genetically modified organisms. I was winning first place science awards in Houston, Texas, when I was 13 years old, so I have a little bit of a science background. Although I moved over into, you know, studying to be a minister of Christ when I was 13, and so I didn't pursue the science background as much, but I had that pre-knowledge in it. I was attending St. Joseph's College in California, studying to be a priest in 1962, when I was pretty darn young. And I've always had that interest in science and continue to read it, and I continue to understand it, but I would advise very strongly against genetic modification, especially in the practices that are now taking place, which are kind of northern China on steroids. Now, why do I say northern China? All your flu viruses come out of northern China, almost all come out of northern China, because there's a test tube up there in northern China, massive million man test tube, where they have people, waterfowl, you know, geese and ducks, and pork in very close proximity, are being raised together, eating refuse and wallowing around in the feces of each, and it allows for the flu viruses that are normally found in ducks. Ducks are rampant with this flu virus, to transmigrate, even, you might say, transmute over into pork, and then from pork to humans. And so you can't normally get flu from a duck because the genetic codes are so different. But if it jumps from duck to pig, pig flesh, domestic pig flesh is similar to human's flesh. I mean, there's similarities, let's put it that way. Which some say pigs are even the product of genetic engineering. The domestic pig is a product of genetic engineering using human tissue, so that the genetic pig has this unique characteristic of its flesh, that once the pig gets the disease, the jump from pig to man is not that big a jump. And so then suddenly you have a flu virus show up in northern China. There's outposts up there that will detect the presence of that new flu, and they will isolate it, try to get it into test tubes, and then try to create a new vaccine for this flu virus, so that before that flu virus comes out of northern China and contaminates the rest of the world, they have a vaccine for it, so that they can prevent it. The problem is that these, once it gets into society, these flu viruses begin to mutate as well, just like they do amongst the ducks and amongst the pigs. Because a virus is not a living creature like a bacteria. It requires a host. It's not complete, independent life form. It doesn't grow outside of its host. So anyway, there's a spiritual reason why viruses exist, why bacteria exist, why disease exists. And these physical representations of spiritual principles are manifested in the physical world. And so now you have Ebola. And we had AIDS, came out of Africa from monkeys to people. And there's a great deal of information that suggests that even that was, I mean, the original disease existed, but that it was tampered with by genetic engineering. Well, the reality in your environment, lots of people, lots of monkeys, people eating monkeys, not cooking them completely, blood mixing back and forth, that's a test tube. You can do genetic engineering in your kitchen. You can literally do it with pots and pans. It's more effective in a sophisticated laboratory, but the reality is genetic engineering is basically mixing up soups and trying to inject genetic material into other cells while they're in existence and growing. All you have to do is injure the cell wall and inject other genetic material in there, and you can disrupt. You know, what you're going to get will vary, and the more controlled you are, the more likely you can guess what you're going to get. But that's genetic engineering, and it goes on every day, like cancer cells being born in your body. It goes on every day. But to actually create a laboratory where you try to create genetic modifications by taking frog DNA and injecting it in a sheep, what you're doing, you know, so that you can get an organ that you can put in a person and or create some sort of pharmaceutical product, this is so dangerous, because what happens is when that genetic material is functioning in another living person that actually belongs in this other species, now all the diseases that are in that other species can jump species easily, because their genetic material is over here. You have species A, species B, and now you create a species C that is a combination of the two. You have doubled your disease pool, because now viruses can jump species easily, because viruses depend upon genetic material in order to connect to a cell. And now you've created a different pattern in that animal. You know, cross-pollination and crossing, you know, breeds of animals. Now, normally in nature, if you took a lion and crossed it with a tiger, the animal that you produce is going to be sterile. You know, take a donkey and cross it with a horse, you get a mule, the mule is usually sterile. And this is nature's way of protecting itself from creating these, what could become monsters of disease. But now you're actually doing that on purpose in a laboratory, opening a huge door for pandemic epidemics. and of disease. So anyway, whether they genetically engineered the Ebola or not is really irrelevant. I mean, it's not irrelevant to them if they were doing that. You know, the sin will be upon their head. But it isn't going to make you immune or protected because you know that information. You've already released these powers by your contracts, covenants, and constitutions. And now it's only a question of what spirit is going to move these beasts that you create, like the golem. Give you back this idea of what the golem is. The golem, ancient Jewish folklore. That you build this clay figurine, and then you put this piece of scripture in it, and it comes alive. And it has to do with oaths and truth and all this stuff, and we've explained this, and you can catch the audios on that. It is becomes this entity that goes around and does your bidding. And the only way you can, you know, stop it is you take a letter out of the word that you put in its mouth, and then it becomes another word, and it supposedly stops. It's all a metaphysical parable of what a corporation is. A golem is a corporation. A corporation is a golem. They had clay tablets. You create the agreement to create this corporation, this entity, this person that's not really alive, and you give it a soul. You make it alive, and you've created it, and it goes out and does your thing. And that's what a corporation is. And how do you kill that? Well, go back and study golem. And that's your defense against a corporation. But let's go back to the disease. Anyway, it's the spirit that you're putting into these things. And when you're creating these new lives, playing God with GMOs, you're doing it with a spirit that's dwelling in you. And it's a spirit of vanity and power and control. And it opens a door for evil to convince corporations like Monsanto to do things that will destroy mankind, because that's what evil wants to do. Because they want dominion, they want to destroy mankind. So that's what's really going on in the spiritual realm, and you're seeing it manifested in the physical realm. So where is the battle won? The battle is won in the spiritual realm. You need to get your soul purified, and you do this by following the ways of Christ, and it will give you the power and means to overcome the golems and what the golems create. It will give you the power. And one of those things that you need is the truth. And the truth shall set you free. Not the truth so much of how they work, but the truth of how Christ works. And we'll talk about that when we return the keys to the kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth, as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
So anyway, welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. We're talking about this new supposedly virus, Ebola. Is it coming? Ebola, is it coming to America? Well, it's already here. We have patents on it. We have it in laboratories. We have it in hospitals. It's here. Is it a big threat? Well, it's a threat to some people, just as AIDS has killed thousands of people. Ebola is AIDS on steroids. Like I said, it attacks all the same. It's like AIDS, it's just way faster. And there are many strains of it, like the Ebobun strain, but there are other strains as well. Ebobun comes from Uganda, and the United States CDC and Health Department have a patent on it as an invention. And I gave that number in the previous part of the show. It's worth noting, by the way, that Ebobun is not the same variant currently believed to be circulating in West Africa. And we should understand that that's a little bit different virus. But from the patent description of the Ebobun virus, we know that the U.S. government extracts Ebola viruses from patients, claims to have invented it. They use the word invented the virus. And maybe they're just talking about isolating it. But they're using the word invented. That normally isn't what you would think they would use. And they file for a monopoly patent to protect their use of the virus. Nobody else. So I guess if you get sick, you're in violation of the patent. Because your body is reproducing a patented Ebola virus. So you're guilty of a crime. You could be arrested for being sick. Technically, that's what could happen. You could be arrested for being sick because you're not because you got sick, but because your body is producing a virus that has literally been patented and you can't reproduce it without permission. So you can't get sick without permission. But anyway, it's a little bit of silly mind twist, but the fact is sometimes governments work that way. You know, all this stuff about GMOs getting into people's field and they having to destroy all their crops because the Monsanto people spilled some of their seed in the roadside and it contaminated your seed. So you have to destroy your seed because their seed is patented and yours is not. Even though your family produced this seed for generation upon generation, finally refining it to grow in Canada in this high latitude, you have to destroy yours because they have a patent. Reality is, the way the court should have been approached is that they took their purebred patented bull and jumped your fence. They didn't control their bull and contaminated your herd and stole from you the ability to reproduce the animals that you were growing, and now you must destroy them. The one that should pay is Monsanto. And they have to pay not only you, but every generation that would have come after you growing what your grandfathers and grandfathers before you had grown. You know, if I have a purebred dairy operation and my next door neighbor, purebred beef operation, bull, jumps the fence in an area where it's not open range and he breeds my dairy cows, ruining the birth product, he's got to pay me. But the way they got these GMOs, you have to pay them. No, it's clearly a miscarriage of justice. But then again, how many citizens have been attending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith? So why would they expect justice from any court in the land today? They're not going to get it because they haven't been giving it. They haven't been caring about their neighbor. But anyway, the U.S. government claims exclusive ownership over its invention, the Ebola, this particular strain. And the summary of the invention section of the patent document also clearly claims that the U.S. government is claiming ownership over all Ebola viruses that share as little as 70% similarity to the Ebola it invented. So that's so that if you have any other Ebola virus, this could be covered under that too. And they go through all kinds of stringent conditions, and they talk about 70 and 75% and 80% and 85% and 90 and 95%. And they're talking about the invention provides the complete genomic sequence of the H. Ebola virus, Ebobun. And they say they own it. And so it seems like if they own the car and it runs you over, they should pay. You see, remember, corporations are golems. They're these monsters who go around and do the will of somebody. But of course, the way the legend goes is eventually they get out of control and they become this beast, this Frankenstein monster that goes around and will even kill its own master. And that, of course, is what's happening. And this is the spirit of what's been going on in the world today. Now, there's no medical reason to bring Ebola to the United States to work on in patients or anything else. We need to ask ourselves, why are they even doing it? Why are they even bringing this? But really, the answer is somewhere else as to what we need to do. But we can ask that question. You know, Dr. Bob Arnott, who's considered one of the top doctors in infectious diseases, a specialist for years and years and years, worked all over Africa, was in an interesting interview with Judge Jeanine. Says there is no medical reason to bring them, the patients, here, especially when you see how well Dr. Bradley was, the doctor who was walking around. And he wasn't, there are ways to treat this. You know, Africa's got some very good places to go and hospitals to go to be treated. There's no reason to bring them here. And, you know, they're worried about people coming into the country that are absolutely healthy and all this stuff, and yet you can just get on a plane with flu symptoms and fly into Dallas, Texas, carrying Ebola. And nobody's even stopping them or even attempting to stop them. But really, the solution is, again, somewhere else. You know, and this Emory University and the CDC are working hard, I'm sure, to save the lives of the patients who came in there and who were transported to the U.S., as well as now there's been additional people who are brought in. I think this is all just kind of to create fear. It's kind of like when there were these shark attacks and somebody got them on video, and people are now suddenly was in the news, another shark attack. And they could have easily taken care of these patients there in Africa. And he says there's no reason to even bring them here. Certainly no reason to bring the virus here. Can set up hospitals there much cheaper than you can set them up here and create all the proper protocols of how to handle these patients. And there's some things that you need to know about these kind of diseases is they're only spread through bodily fluids, but those bodily fluids can become airborne for a short period of time. They can get smeared onto everything from keyboards to doorknobs, and then you touch them and then you touch your eyes and you can get sick. So and it's very rapid in the body. So it's one of those things that your body's not going to produce the immune antiviral agents that destroy it. Vaccines don't produce that either. All they're doing is stimulating your body to produce these things so that you already have them in place if you get infected. But even if you get infected, there are ways to treat it. And there are probably lots of alternative things to do. And they are trying to keep anybody from doing this. And, I mean, it's actually becoming unlawful to even suggest that there are other things to do. But, you know, people are suggesting things like colloidal silver and essential oils. And they don't want you doing that. They don't even want you talking about that. But boosting your immune system and all these things. But it is a very deadly virus. But, again, there are ways to protect yourself, and that is to quarantine. And, of course, you could quarantine the whole disease in Africa. You don't have to bring it here. There's absolutely no reason to bring it here or bring anybody here who's got it. And anybody who's got it, you should take them back or isolate them until it dies out. But once it starts getting out there, they can jump species. So you have to be very careful about that. But anyway, make no mistake that billions of dollars in profits are at stake in all this. Shares of Techmire, which is one of the companies, Techmira, is one of the companies that is involved in the creation of the vaccine, etc., surged to 11% just on one day. Pressure was placed on the FDA to actually now fast-track Ebola vaccine trials that the company is setting up. Health campaigners have started a petition which, you know, last I checked, already had over 15,000 signatures to pressure the FDA to approve the drug in the, you know, the shortest period of time possible. This is highly dangerous of bringing vaccines quickly on the market because people don't know their long-range effects. There still are kinds of arguments about what people are already suffering with in and because of vaccines. You know, there's huge evidence that there's a problem with the overuse of vaccines as well as the overuse of antibiotics, etc., which are maybe setting you up for the worst possible plague ever. Same as your social welfare system. You have become so dependent upon your social welfare system that if it were to break down, you got nothing. You've got no local community devices. You don't know how to take care of yourself. You don't know how to, unless you, you know, in serious, serious times, you don't get the medicine people, the pharmaceutical can't keep up with what they're producing. During World War II, that's where there was a huge resurgence in the aromatic oils as antibiotics, antiviral agents, because they couldn't get the other stuff. Not because the other stuff didn't always work, because there are certainly some things that work rather well. But they couldn't get them, so they went back to the ancient ones, and they found a lot of times they were even more effective with less side effects. And they can be reproduced in your kitchen if you had the ability and the understanding. But you don't know how to do that. It's like when my wife and I first started having children, we kind of wanted to have midwives and home births and stuff like that. I mean, we didn't really know much about it. There was hardly anybody doing that in those days. Homeschooling. No, we didn't know any homeschoolers, and we just heard about this. And we live, you know, 45 miles to the nearest school. So we thought, well, maybe we could teach them first grade, and it progressed from there. But nobody even knew about that. But yet I found recently and added it to one of our web pages that in 1901, the Communist Party was signing documents saying that they had to get rid of homeschooling. Well, what's homeschooling in 1901? It was the major form of education in the younger grades. It was homeschooling. That's the way everybody got educated. And so in order to destroy homeschooling, the Communist Party promoted public education. And now you've become totally dependent upon public education, which made their job much easier because all they had to do is change your school books. You don't have to rewrite the Bible, just rewrite the dictionary. And then people won't know what the Bible is really talking about. And we've got lots of articles that point that out as well. But the point is that what are some of the things you could do? Somebody wrote five things to know about to deal with Ebola. He says have MMS on board, which is something that people use for malaria, etc. And it seems to have some effect. I don't know whether it does or not, but it might be a handy thing to have. Colloidal silver, they talk about. Essential oils is another thing. You know, other remedies other than what the pharmaceuticals offer you. We're not telling you not go to pharmaceuticals. We're telling you to go to the Holy Spirit and start being guided by that. Find out information, but move according to the Holy Spirit. In order for you to hear the Holy Spirit, you need to gather together to care about one another. One of the things this individual says is get out of Florida. He says they can be quarantined easily. And we talked in an earlier show about government people I know that have actually been drawing up plans to quarantine major cities at government request. And this has been going on for a long time. They also have plans for evacuating cities, but mostly they have plans for quarantining them. And so the thing, even if you aren't caught in a quarantine, where are you going to go? That's why you need a network. Not just home churches, but home churches networking together, caring about each congregation. You need to organize yourselves as most free governments organize themselves for thousands upon thousands of years, which you don't know anything about because you went to public school, and that was all removed out of the school books because they already decided that central government is the answer. Central government has always failed. And now, individual networking governments have also failed, but they failed by neglect, by people deciding to go the easier way. As Yoda says, quicker, faster, but not better. But anyway, then he says, get with others in remote country. And he says, you're welcome to come to Texas because this guy was in Texas. The reality is you don't want to just get with others. You want to get with others who are seeking righteousness. You want to get with others who love their neighbor as themselves. Others who have a track record of caring about others. Others who have a track record of sacrificing themselves for the well-being of others. Others who are also rebuking and speaking out and seeking virtue and have been on the road to create a society that cares about one another. Not a selfish society, not a socialist society, but a society of individuals who reward righteousness with their sacrifices. That's what you want to gather together with, and that's hard to find. You really have to look for that. And of course, the last thing he says, don't take vaccines. But will that be a matter of choice? Because they want to enforce that. So anyway, Natural News also talks about five lies concerning Ebola. He says Ebola won't ever come to the United States. Well, it's already here. It's already in the United States. Well, is it rampant? No. Is it all over the place? No. Is it the only disease out there? No, it's just one strain. There's lots of strains. AIDS is here. Traffic is here. It kills thousands of people every day. You know, not necessarily every day, but every year. It kills thousands of people. Alcohol is here. Other drugs are here. Everything's going to come here. I mean, it's going to happen. Will it be the, you know, giant plague that we're all supposed to fear? Fear not who can kill the body. Who can kill the soul? What's already here is an infectious disease of selfishness. And the cure for Ebola is the opposite of that. Righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Another lie. Ebola is only spread via direct contact with body fluids. Well, that's sort of true. Like most lies, there's truth in that. But that body fluids can get on other surfaces. It can be projected through the air when somebody sneezes. So it can be airborne. Yeah, sunlight will eventually destroy it. Time will eventually destroy it. But it has to have this living host. But it can get on your ATM keypad. And who was at the ATM 2 minutes before you got there? You don't know. So, you know, practices of, you know, keeping clean and washing up when you come in, and these were things that the Israelites learned to do. It's a good thing. But most important is wash your hearts and your minds so that the Holy Spirit can come in and show you, don't go down that road. Don't go down that path. Don't touch that. Because it will tell you. Because this, the Ebola, is the evidence of a spiritual disease. All these diseases are evidence of a spiritual, misguided society. Doesn't mean that if you get Ebola, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. It means that there's a spiritual part to this equation. And you need to find that righteous spirit. And all else will be given unto you. Number three, don't worry. Health authorities have everything under control. Infected Ebola victims just flew right into the country with Ebola. It was actually facilitated by the government to bring them in. Some were just traveling around Dallas for 10 days while carrying Ebola, and we still don't know how many people that might end up being affected from that. You know, I mean, the U.S. government has purchased over 160,000 Ebola hazmat suits. Why did the president sign an executive order authorizing forced government quarantine of anyone showing symptoms of infection? Well, if you start having a lot of people, you can quarantine. Where are you going to go? You need to be creating that network of people that are moving not from fear but from love. The only defense against Ebola is a vaccine or pharmaceutical drugs. That was lie number four that they published. there's a lot of other things that you can do to defend yourself against that. Everything from washing to essential oils to colloidal silver, washing with that, whatever. There could be other cures. I don't know. They don't know. It hasn't been a big problem for a long time. But I tell you, the cure that is ultimate is the Holy Spirit. And if you're not doing what Christ said, the Holy Spirit is not going to enter into you. So the idea, you know, they talk about all kinds of things, peppermint, basil, rosemary, cinnamon, and oregano, just to name a few. But are any of these guarantees? No, there's no guarantee. Is Ebola, he says another lie, is Ebola just a fluke of nature? Well, maybe. I don't think there is any flukes of nature. I think everything that happens in nature is the result of spiritual influence. We are creating. We have the power of creation. And our spiritual virtue and lack of it is creating the world around us. And we need to repent. We need to turn around. We need to go another way. We need to gather together in the name of Christ. In other words, we have to gather together in order to take care of one another, to be there for one another, to serve one another. And then whether it's Ebola or AIDS or the pandemic, cancers, or whatever it is, you know, we're all going to face death. Fear not him that can kill the body. Fear rather him that can kill the soul. And we are killing our souls with our selfishness. And we have done it softly so that we haven't seen it coming for a long time, but now it's very clear. The debt, the divisions in society, the crime. Just had a friend who moved to New York, and they were sleeping, and lo and behold, somebody was in their apartment stealing their video equipment. And we teased the fellow that his partner there, I forget her name, I won't mention it anyway. She jumped on the fire escape chasing the criminals up the fire escape. They kicked at her and everything. She continued to chase them up the fire escape. She's a little bitty girl. She jumped up on the roof, chased them across the roof. They were running so frantically to get away from this little girl that they dropped one of the cameras. She reached down, picked it up, and started filming them as they ran. They turned around so she got full shot of them. Facing the camera and everything. So, I mean, we were teasing him about, where were you when she was doing all this? They were all just kind of stunned early in the morning. But they actually were in their apartment. They came in through the window. Bold. Who are you going to call? You know, everybody down at the police department wanted her to become a policeman. They thought she was great, you know, because she was Johnny on the spot action, this little bit of girl. Not necessarily always recommended, because they could have been armed and they could have killed her as well. But I think her boldness frightened them. And, you know, so anyway, you need to gather together with other people who care, who have a sense of justice, who have a sense of sacrifice, who have a sense of forgiveness, who aren't gathering together because you make them feel good. They're gathering together because they want to do good. That's Christ. That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's what you need to be doing. And that's what you need to turn around and seek to do. And then you will have miraculous, I mean absolutely miraculous, cure at your fingertips, which is the power of the Holy Spirit, which cured the leper in the days of Jesus Christ and will cure other people in our day. But you have to walk in his ways. And until you do, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.